On the line now, I have MEP Nessa Childers. Good morning, Nessa. How are you?
Oh, good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Congratulations, anyway, on the job. It's great. And as we were talking at the time, I remember I had you in for the interview. You had very little posters and I don't know what would you call it, propaganda going around, but it was terrific. Very, very well done.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, now the next Saturday, I think it is the centenary of the Asgard and the Hoth running, the gun running in Hoth. Can you give our listeners a bit of background to it, Nessa, please?
Oh, well, my grandfather was the person, along with my grandmother and Mary Spring Rice and some others, that ran the guns into Hoth Harbour for the Irish Volunteers 100 years ago, and we're celebrating it this weekend. There are quite a few events, and I will be at the one at my family, for instance, on Sunday in Hoth, where there's a reenactment of the gun running.
Mm-hmm. Now, the guns that were brought over at the time, I mean, there was supposed to be 1,500. They only could get, I think it was around 900 on. How big a deal was it at the time? I mean, it was 2 years before the actual rising itself.
Some of them were used in the rising. I would see it much more as a kind of, they were certainly real guns, and it took, I mean, there couldn't have been any more on the boat. I mean, the description of the sailing was fairly shocking, that what they had to do to get them to hold. But it was a symbolic act. It was a very bold gesture, and it was designed to, you know, as a strong gesture to actually, if you like, compete with the Larne gun running, which had made people very alarmed, the Republican community, about home rule. So it was very much a symbolic act, and it's what now would be called armed politics.
Mm-hmm.
That is what people would call it now, you know, where it's not the usual kind of war, but where guns and events, unfortunately we see a lot of that in the last week too, are used to put pressure on.
Mm-hmm. But they were quite antiquated rifles anyway, so was that, as you say, it was just a gesture as an extent, a propaganda gesture, but they were still usable.
They did work. They did work, and some of them were used in the rising, and you know, that would be my opinion. And I think that it was my grandfather was himself very good at propaganda and public relations, what we call now propaganda. And I think he was aware of the importance for morale of doing something like that. It's not that the guns weren't intended to be used. I don't think many of them were, for other reasons, but that would have been part of the intent. And to give people confidence. And I've often believed that I think the fact that he was English made a difference. I think he had that sort of mm-hmm. confidence to do something. And he was, of course, an expert yachtsman.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, even though being a yachtsman anyway, but it was some journey to all the same from Hamburg. And, I mean, 900 rifles, they were sleeping on them, and it made things rather uncomfortable. I'm sure I couldn't tell you now how long the journey would have taken.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the descriptions, I can read a sentence out from my grandmother's diary, who was, by the way, disabled. The boat was partly designed for her mm-hmm. in mind, because she couldn't walk properly. And she says, "I wish you could have seen the same darkness, lamps, strange faces, the swell of the sea making the boat lurch, guns, straw everywhere. No supper, chocolate thrust into mouths, water being handed around, and a German face peering down the hatch saying they'll explode if you drop them, the guns."
Mm-hmm.
So that was the dark and the wind and the rain, you know, an incredible journey.
Without what was the underlying factor attached to it, it was an incredible journey itself. And was it part of the propaganda to arrive during the day, or was that just coincidental to do with the trip?
Oh, I think that would have been, I can't say, because I wouldn't have been mm-hmm. in their minds, but they were, when they got there, they hadn't heard by letter from anyone in 3 weeks, and there was an awful moment where they didn't know if anyone would meet them.
Mm-hmm.
The very tense part of the diaries, you know, where they're looking to see, is there anyone there? And of course they were in, you know, they could have been stopped, and, you know, a serious trouble could have happened. So there were people there, of course, and
yes.
The trouble happened later in Bachelor's Walk.
It's amazing that they slipped through a British review of the Navy that were preparing for the First World War as well. It's absolutely fantastic story.
Yes, and my grandfather went off to fight. I mean, his opinion, his political views were very much about the freedom of small nations, you know, and he would have been as hostile to German imperialism as he would to British.
Mm-hmm. Now, what happened after you mentioned there in Bachelor's Walk? Well, what happened? Was this as a result of what?
Yes, people were basically shot as a result of trouble that emerged in Bachelor's Walk, and it was the result of the gun running. You know, it was very sad. Three people were killed and 38 injured, and the military were to blame. You know, they did an inquiry. But, you know, all of this resulted in the end of it. In my grandfather was executed in the Civil War, so there was a great deal of death and suffering as a result of these things. So I think we should be seeing it in a historical context, but all these acts were acts of independence, but they did have a violent outcome.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, it always seems to be just mentioned in passing. There's never ever any great significance attached to it, which there should be.
Yes, I think everything like this has consequences. And there was a kind of a war of independence going on from that moment onwards. And, you know, my grandfather was executed, but so were 77 other people. Now, they were executed by the Irish state.
Mm-hmm.
So the effects of the violence went on for a very long time, and indeed in Northern Ireland they went on for many decades. So, you know, it's important to see the whole picture looking back as well as trying to imagine what it was like at the time.
Mm-hmm. Just to mention, just go back a little bit, Nessa, that there was a distraction made actually on the boat, because the British had some idea something was going on, but when they arrived there they had managed to hide the guns.
And that's true, yes. And, well, they were lucky that they had. I mean, I don't know what would have happened if that had gone further, and if the harbour master, you know, hadn't... He informed the authorities about the situation, and there was, in fact, a detachment of the King's Own Scottish Borderers were dispatched from Kilmainham. But I don't think what could have happened, very bad acts could have happened that didn't. They hid the guns in the Christian Brothers grounds.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that because it was 2 years before the rising, I don't know if there was rumblings beforehand, that the punishments would have been quite severe if they had have been caught with the guns?
Oh, I would dread to think what the punishments could have been, yes. And in the Kilcool arms running too, which was out in Kilcool in Wicklow, they hid guns there too. One of the things they were carrying the guns in broke down, and they took them and hid them in people's yards.
Mm-hmm.
So in both cases, it's difficult to know what would happen, but I think it would have been very bad.
Mm-hmm. But you were saying there about being executed afterwards, but Erskine, but isn't it ironic to the extent that he survived the Civil War to be executed later by his own government?
Yes, of course. In civil wars, you see things like this happening, you know, that the government would take over. Actually, you know, still there's a great deal of turmoil. Whether you could have said that was a normal political situation, mm-hmm. I don't think it was. But you can see the hostility and the viciousness that hangs around. And, you know, they do things to make an example of people. So my grandfather was very idealistic and he wasn't for turning or compromising. And I think you always need people like that, both in politics generally and possibly in these types of politics. But we never talked about that. My parents wouldn't talk to me about it, for mm-hmm. instance, because people who were the victim of violence in a civil war, their families were really traumatized, and it was only many years later that it began to be talked about.
Okay, and what happened to the Asgard after that?
Well, it went to Kilmainham Jail eventually. He seemingly never sailed in it again. after, he used to say for Netter, after the whole gun running, and it went eventually into Kilmaine and jail. And that's where I come on the scene, of course, because I was there when it was taken out and eventually refitted, and it's now in Collins Barracks.
Okay, and is there any celebration going to be around the weekend? As I said, Saturday is.
Yes, there is in the National Museum of Ireland, where it is on the Saturday. There are all kinds of things happening. My brother Rory is making us. He's talking there, and that's in addition to other events around the country and the reenactment on the Sunday.
Mm-hmm. And I know, as I said, it's been mentioned in lots of books, but has there anything specifically been written about just that period itself? Because it the journey itself is a story, and then the subsequent things that happened afterwards.
I would think Mary Spring Rice's diary of the events is an F.X. Martin book. There have been a number of biographies of my grandfather too. He's a figure that seems to interest many people, and there have been a number of the film was of the Riddle of the Sands, which is the mm-hmm. book he wrote. It would have been written about quite a lot. I'm not sure that there's been an actual book of just about the gun running.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there needs to be.
It's been part of many historical texts. Perhaps it will be now. Perhaps there will be now.
Mm-hmm. And is it true there's going to be a recreation of the Asgard Sailing at the Hoe this weekend?
That's right. That's what I was telling you.
Yes,
about. That's going to be on the Sunday. Yes,
okay.
And on Sunday afternoon. And the President is going to be there, and the Minister for Arts, Heather Humphrey.
The last remark that's on the literature I'm reading says that there'll be no rifles this year. it's quite funny.
Yeah.
Someone with a wry sense of humour there. But it's a fascinating story. As I said, it's a story within itself, a true story that would make a good film as well as a great read. Listen, Nessa, congratulations again to you. And are you going to any of the events yourself? Will you be there on Sunday? Or?
Oh, I will be there on Saturday in the museum. Everyone should go. If anyone hasn't seen the Asgard in the museum, they should go there. Just to the museum generally, but it's particularly good, the Asgard, because I would say that, wouldn't I, the exhibit. And also I'll be at the reenactment on Sunday.
Okay, thank you very much for talking to us here on Ear FM. Thank you very much, Nessa.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, bye.